Listen here, see? I need your money. I need your help. This show exists because of you. Go to patreon.com/frogpants today and give what you can. Yeah! This is the Boop Show, some gaming news you can use for April 14th, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. The grunting today sounded a little weird. I apologize. That was not meant to sound at all disgusting, but it did. Hey, what are you doing? Welcome to the Boop Show. Glad to be here. Happy to be with you. Happy to be in your ears. Happy to be a part of your life in this small 30-minute way on a Thursday. I'm probably sitting there saying, why is this show so late? Well, I got to it late. I apologize. Okay? I've been hovering over, my mouse button has been hovering over the Witcher 3 pre-order option on Steam for probably 2 weeks now, because I have struggled as to whether or not I wanted to get it. And what finally pushed me over the edge were the early reviews for the game, which have been nothing less than stellar. In fact, why don't we live on the show right now just take a look at how it's going review wise. Here we go. The PC version, not yet enough reviews counted. Let's see. Yeah, they don't have enough counted yet. However, PS4, let's look at that, because I saw that one pop up. Where'd it go? Here we go. Witcher 3, Wild Hunt, currently enjoying an average of 92 on Metacritic. Say what you want about Metacritic, but that's pretty solid. Games Planet, The Guardian, The Telegraph, Eurogamer Poland. They're a little biased, right? Australian Gamers, Impulse Gamer, GameSpot. Oh, there's a number. There's a name you know from the States. Those are all perfect 100s, or 10s in most of their cases, that's how they translate that. With others falling there behind, like Game Trailers at 98, Game Informer at 98, 96 for Maristation. I don't know what that is. IGN Spain gave it a 95. Anyway, IGN a 93. You kind of can't do much better than this. So that's all I needed. I just needed to see that many of the sites were all kind of in some sort of unison about whether or not they pulled off what they said they'd pull off in this game, and it looks great. So I'm in. I'm all in. And I got the pre-order. And it was a little bit on sale, right? Like 20% off or whatever it is on Steam at the moment. So that seemed like a no-brainer. Let's go ahead and lock that in. If I'm going to play it anyway, I may as well. So I'm getting it on the PC, and we'll all compare notes once it comes out and talk about versions and all that. I also played a little game for like $12, found it on Steam. It piqued my interest, called Windward. Like wind, you know, the wind blowing. You're familiar with wind? And ward at the end, Windward. I'm probably over-explaining this. Like Steve Winwood, except not Winwood, Steve Winward. Or no Steve, just Winward. It's kind of an MMO, it's kind of an RPG, it's sort of a boat simulator, it's kind of this top-down, like, if Diablo had boats in it. It's kind of a combat-y little thing, it's sort of Zen exploration-y thing, it's got random levels, so it's got that thing. I don't know how to classify it. There are quests, there are things to go do, there are stuff to fight. You basically find, you know, you build a ship and you go do stuff. I don't even know what to compare it to. Like Sid Meier's has their Pirates game or whatever it is. Sid Meier's, whatever it is. That's a little more 4X kind of style of game. This is a bit more direct action, direct results of doing quests and things. Kind of reminds me, I have the vibe I'm getting is a little bit Black Flag, Assassin's Creed Black Flag. I know that sounds strange, but just the boat parts, kind of similar to that. I don't know how to describe that game. I think it's really cool, though. And people seem to agree. It's, like, extremely positive reactions, however they quote that on Steam. Is it extremely positive? How do they say it? Hold on.
It says,
let's see how they term it. Oh, there's volume coming out of that. That's something else. Anyway, very positive, it says. So, I don't know. These are such impulse buys for me, and I love little weird indie games, and this just totally that. The only thing I would complain about is there's really no tutorial, and I'm not exactly sure how I feel about playing with other players yet, so right now I'm doing this solo. And also, the instructions on how either controller or keyboard works are a little vague, and it's kind of confusing, especially the controller. Mouse and keyboard a little easier to navigate. I think they could do better with that, but it seems pretty neat. So check it out. You will not be disappointed if you like MMO ship, boat, RPG, combat, exploration, random level things. Right alongside the release of Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, which will happen Monday or Tuesday. It's Tuesday, I guess, right? 19th? It's always Tuesdays. They put out a cinematic launch trailer today, and it's dark, man, and cool. So, yeah, I mean, yeah. You expect that, game companies and cinematics today, hey, they've got it going on, right? Big news, everybody. Big shocker. Hold on to your butts. Have a seat in case this shocks you. I don't want you to fall over and faint. But we're pretty good at cinematics now in this industry. And so The Witcher has a fine cinematic. They had a good one for Witcher 2, if I recall. Especially the relaunch on consoles. They had this really great new cinematic trailer thing. Bloody and interesting and gives you a feel for the tone of this third chapter. So, very excited. Witcher 3. Gonna be good. And if you haven't seen the trailer, it's out there. It's on YouTube. It's everywhere else. You should go watch it right now. Let's talk about Assassin's Creed news. So this Assassin's Creed Syndicate, it's called, is well underway. It's set in 1868, was it? I think so. Near the turn of the century, industrialized world is centered in London, England, as it was in real history. And once again, I'll tell you this. This is all gameplay, by the way. They didn't show a cinematic. This is a case where they did not show some fake pre-rendered thing. It was in-game. And it looks wonderful. Very, very pretty. As you would expect. Been a weird week for Ubisoft. They put out that apology video for Unity, the French one. And that was weird. I don't think I've ever seen a big publisher do an apology video before. The closest analog I could come up with was Blizzard doing this when Josh and I can't remember the other developer got in front of a camera and basically apologized for the auction house and said it was a mistake and said they were removing it. That was a pretty big deal at the time and the right thing to do at the time. It's difficult to say whether this was the right thing to do. I think that what really will make gamers trust them again is if this next game is really good. If they can make Syndicate be all the things that Unity couldn't be, then we should all celebrate the fact that they did right by fans, and we'll see, I suppose. Very, very pretty, very cool environments. The main character, once again, I think some of the best, I say once again, I don't know if I've said this before, but I think some of the best character and asset artists working today in video games, they're working for the Assassin's Creed team. No question in my mind. The detail on these characters, our main hero man here, what's his name? Crap, I lost it. He looks great. It's just great. He wears that top hat when he's not fighting, pulls his little hoodie up when he is. They've somehow taken the Assassin's Creed motif of the hidden blades and the kind of cloaky looking thing and all the things you're used to with all these characters. They somehow, I think, kind of miraculously make it look like natural in the setting that they're in. Whatever historical setting they're in, it looks just fine. The only place I don't know that it'll work is if they ever get a modern or even futuristic hooded assassin running around on roofs, right? Will that look weird? But historically speaking, it always looks right. It's beautiful. They're really good at that. I mean, say what you want about Unity. Even that was a great example of this. This guy just looks great. And I'm all in on them doing this right. If they do this right, then I'm back in their good graces. I'll be happy to play their game. And they have a lot to live up to because Unity, woo, Black Flag, great. Unity, poo-poo. 3, kind of boring. 2, pretty good, except for Revelations. They have a real opportunity here, and they're changing some stuff up. They talk in the video about new gameplay and game types and stuff to do and all that. So, there's your Assassin's Creed news of the week. And I'm sure more will come up as we get closer to E3. Oh, speaking of E3, if any of you out there are interested in being a part of Boop coverage, among other things on the network, I would love to have a couple of people kind of on the ground correspondents who maybe are already going. If you are in the mood for some quick Skype calls during the week, nothing major, just quick updates we can record for the show about what you're seeing on the floor, what you thought about certain press conferences, that sort of thing. If that is you, if I describe someone that is you, send me an email, boopshow@gmail.com, and I'll get with you, okay? boopshow@gmail.com, and let me know who you are and how we can get in touch. Oh, speaking of Assassin's Creed, they're not putting any more of these out on 360 or PlayStation 3, so too bad, so sad. All right, now the next bit of real news here. South Park, Stick of Truth. That thing did well. 1.6 million in sales. Not bad. Considering, I don't know. I don't know. I just felt like it's small. It would be an audience that would be very specific, right? Not a very mainstream sort of thing that showed up on old consoles and PC and did pretty well. I mean, anything south of a million or north of a million, I guess, is what people want. To be able to say, yeah, that was a successful endeavor and perhaps we'll do it again. Is that still the litmus test, or is that number bigger now? Is that inflated over the years? But you always remember them saying, oh, if a game does a million, then you're in good. You'll probably make sequels. It was worth the investment, blah, blah, blah. Right? That's ringing a bell. Ubisoft CFO Alain Martinez revealed the figure during an earnings call this afternoon. And this all came about, as you recall, from the $3.2 million acquisition of the THQ bankruptcy auction stuff that they purchased. One of them was the rights to do stuff with the South Park stuff. And Obsidian's doing okay with Pillars of Eternity. It's doing all right. And I don't know if you knew this, but they are also working on a tank MMO called Armored Warfare. One would assume that will compete with the likes of World of Tanks, which I guess has done okay also. Rainbow Six Siege has a release date. Confirmed. It's coming out on October 13th. That's actually earlier than I expected this year. It will be available on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. No development on older consoles for that. Also a Ubisoft Montreal joint. Strategic-based shooter that everybody was excited about last year's E3. They showed a trailer. There was some controversy about that, if you recall, but still pretty cool to see. Anyway, they say this, quote, players will engage in sieges, a new style of assault where enemies have the means to transform their environments into modern strongholds while Rainbow Six teams lead the assault to breach the enemy position. That sounds like fun. And they released a short trailer for that, which you can watch if you want. But yeah, that game's very exciting to me. I was a big fan of the old Rainbow Six games. And I suppose more of that, please. Silver Mario Amiibo has arrived, or it will be arriving this month. What is this month? It's May, right? If you're an Amiibo fan and you're ready for spending more money on Nintendo stuff, then be ready, because the 29th of May, it will be available at retailers for $13, Silver Amiibo. This is the Mario one. It will launch along the side of a wave of 4, apparently. And these new characters are based on Charizard. I always thought it was just Charizard. Is it Charizard? I'll never forget my nephew during Halloween one year. I was taking him around the neighborhood, and he was wearing a Charizard mask and a whole like get up that was like a Pokemon suit thing. And we got about halfway through the trip around the neighborhood, and he goes, it's like this, Uncle Scott, I don't feel very good. And I said, what's the matter? And he goes, I think I'm gonna, and he just yacked inside of his mask, and it was all spaghetti, like undigested spaghetti from dinner. Anyway, that was a bad night, dude. And I was up with that kid all night. So Charizard, it's tainted. I don't want that amiibo is what I'm getting at. Anyway, launches alongside Charizard, Wario, Who else? Pac-Man, Jigglypuff, and Ness. There are a few others, right? I thought there was more than that. Well, anyway. Nintendo, remember, they did the gold version, but that was exclusive to Walmart. The silver ones anywhere, including Walmart, I would assume. And it will be compatible with Wii U and 3DS games where appropriate. So if you're into that stuff, well, we got you covered. Sony's treating the PlayStation 4 No Man's Sky as a first-party game. This according to Sony themselves. They have pledged the following, quote, to put the weight and the full weight of PlayStation behind the upcoming ambitious indie title No Man's Sky as part of the company's efforts to treat the PlayStation 4 title, as reported on GameSpot, like a first-party game, even if it does come to other platforms later, like PC or whatever. Says No Man's Sky has been treated as if it is one from our, one of our own internal studios, says Sony UK manager director Fergal Guerra. Fergal Guerra. We've been working very closely with the developers and bringing it to our release platform. Sorry, I read that wrong. Bringing it into our release program as if we made it ourselves. Goes on to say we're not doing it any differently. But that means, I guess that's just to tell us how excited they are. Hey, guess what they didn't do? They didn't give us a date. We have no idea when that's coming out. And I'm sick of waiting. That was my number one. I'm still my number one excited about title, but I don't know when that thing's coming out. Do you have any idea? Metal Gear publisher Konami. You know Konami? The Konami code? Up, down, left, right. Ah, shite. What is it? I'm going to find it now because it's going to piss me off. Here you go. The Konami code is the following. Up, up, down, down, left, right, BA. That's it. Every self-respecting gamer is supposed to know that off the top of their head, but clearly I'm neither self-respecting nor a gamer today. But anyway, they are now saying, they're coming right out and saying, I mean, this is on the heels of them pulling, they canceled plans for Silent Hills. No deal, right? They yanked PT off the PlayStation 4 platform and won't let people re-download it if they already did. People are all upset about that. Although I don't know why they're mad, but whatever. It was a free thing to promote a game that's now not being made. Why are you surprised they pulled that? That's like saying, oh man, don't take down the commercial that promises the next Ford Mustang will be a hover car. Leave that up. I've seen your ad once. Let me look at it again and again forever and let me keep having it. No, Ford would pull that ad because they're not making the hover car anymore. They canceled that project. So why would they still tell you to get a hover car at the end of it, at the end of this commercial, basically? It's the same thing. What's the difference? PT was an ad, a big interactive kind of cool ad, a very well-made ad, but it's an ad that featured a bunch of gameplay and at the end, Norman Reedus walking around outside, who is no longer affiliated with the project. Konami's name, or Kojima's name all over it. Del Toro, the director, all over it, who's no longer involved at all. And they're not making it. So why are you surprised? And don't act like they owe you anything. They don't. It's a commercial. That's what that was. I mean, we can all be disappointed the game's not being made. I get that. Totally. I'm very sad the game's not being made, but hello? They can do this, and they should do it. That's the business thing to do. You'd be mad if it was another product, like the car example I gave that was kind of poor, but you get my idea. You'd be mad if they didn't do it. It'd be weird if they didn't. So just, it's fine. Anyway, Konami, this was my point. They say that they're mostly a publisher for mobile now. That's all they really care about. They say mobile is now our main platform. Somebody on the NeoGAF forum translated an interview with, who was it? President Hideki Hakawakachakacha. I'm sure I said that right. He says, our main... it's a hard name. H-A-Y-A-K... Hayakawa, I guess. I could have spent a little time and figured it out. Our main platforms will be mobiles, says the interview. Gaming has spread to a number of platforms, but at the end of the day, the platform that is always closest to us is mobile. Mobile is where our future of gaming lies. With multi-platform games, there's really no point in dividing the market into categories anymore. Mobiles will take the new role of linking the general public to the gaming world. Wow, that made no sense. In recent Konami financial reports, Konami highlighted free-to-play design-driven games as key areas of success for the company. Here's the funny bit. What ones are we talking about? What actual Konami mobile games are there that matter? I like Konami. Don't get me wrong. Mobile games. We're going to find out right now. We're going to hold them to the scope here. I don't even know what that means. Yeah, I can't even find a list. Yeah, I don't know what they... who knows what they're talking about? Was that like some kind of Metal Gear card game way back in the day? I remember that. Didn't they do a... Well, I don't know. What mobile games are the future? What are they talking about? What crazy success have they experienced? Is it all in Japan? Maybe that's why. Listen, Scott, not everything happens here in the States, in these states united, all right? Sometimes it's in Japan. So calm down. Keep your crap together. Blizzard has dropped the ban hammer on about 100,000 accounts who were using a World of Warcraft bot that I guess is pretty popular right now. It runs around gathering honor, specifically in PvP, without actually engaging anyone, and this requires zero input from the player. Blizzard's come out and said a bunch of things about it, including, "We're committed to providing an equal and fair playing field for everyone in World of Warcraft," says Blizzard. "We will continue to take action against those who are in violation of the terms of use. Cheating of any form will be not tolerated, or will not be tolerated." And Bashiok's been on Twitter saying some other stuff as well, saying pretty much anything that automates the pushing of buttons is you're in violation. And some have said, "What's the difference between that and macros? Macros must be in violation." No, they're not. You still got to push a button. If something's automatically pushing it for you, then you're in violation. If you're pushing a button, whether it be a macro or just a standard ass action, then you're in fine. If you're pushing that yourself. This just in, update to the story. Beep, 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 beep. 200,000 registered users. I doubled it, or I halved it. Some are reporting 100,000. I'm now seeing articles that are reporting 200,000. If that's true, either way, it's a lot. But 200,000 is more than some MMO's entire player base. So think of that. Yeah. But yeah, there, you know, you gotta be vigilant. You can't let the cheaters win, I suppose. I guess it depends on how you look at it. A Magma Red PlayStation 4 controller, they're calling it Magma Red, is coming to the United States. It's a DualShock 4, and it will be out this summer. Didn't give a specific date, but it will be $65. These new controllers are a little expensive. You know, Sony, I'd really be interested in an extra controller, and going red, that seems neat. It's like this combo of red and black. It looks really cool. But guess what? If this battery life isn't extended on this one, then I'm not buying it. I already have four of your controllers. All of the battery life on them sucks. They blew it this generation with battery life. I love that controller in every other way, but the battery life is beyond disappointing. It is redonkulous. And it's clear that you could have done better. Nintendo's Pro Controller, Microsoft's Xbox One Controller, they all have way, way longer battery lives. So what were you doing there? What were you thinking? It's extremely annoying. Even with four controllers, I find myself just running out of juice all the time. I can't be the only one. And I have genuinely really liked the PS4 and its launch and its games and it, kind of everything it's done since launch. I feel like they kind of got it going on. But man... And even the controller itself. My favorite controller to hold in my hand. Here's one right here.
Hold it right now.
Oh, yeah. Feel that. Yeah, see? Hear the sticks? You hear that? Oh, yeah. Feel that. Buttons, see? That's the X button. Ooh, square, circle, triangle. Triggers. Anyway. Love everything about it, but that battery life is the pits! You can watch an 8-minute video of Blizzard's Overwatch robot monk character in action. His name is Zenyatta. Remember him? He's been in the videos before. I played him briefly at BlizzCon last year. They're showing off all of his latest moves, his latest abilities, and just kind of generally how that guy looks now and moves. Seems really fun, as always. I can't wait for that game. Blizzard says that this game is not inspired by MOBAs at all, or even their own internal... quote-unquote brawler, Heroes of the Storm. Oh, I got to tell you something about that in a minute. But anyway, I don't agree with them anymore. I think they're kind of fibbing to us. They've definitely borrowed from that. And I'm not saying it's bad. I think it's great. I think they should embrace the fact that they did that. But the abilities and cooldown system is so much like the QWE of playing a MOBA. It really is. your basic attacks, and then you got your three, you know, your three general abilities, essentially. Is it four now? Whatever it is. Yeah, I guess it'd be four because you have R in there eventually. But anyway, that's that doesn't have the leveling mechanic and the whole unlock mechanic thing, but it's still like that kind of thing. And to its credit, I think it's a good thing. Anyway, this whole video is up online. You can go check it out. They call him the Omnic Monk who wanders the world in search of spiritual enlightenment. It is said that those who cross his path are never the same again. That's because he's a religious robot, and that's freaking weird. Ubisoft, speaking of Ubisoft earlier, their E3 press conference has been slated for June 15th. So, potentially Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, a bunch of other crap. You're going to get to see all of this in the Orpheum Theater in Los Angeles, June 15th, starting at 3 p.m. If you're not going, they'll stream that whole damn thing, just like everything else with all the press conferences. And I'm sure they'll show off Assassin's Creed. I'm sure we'll see Rainbow Six Siege, The Division, which got delayed, by the way, till next year. Just Dance will probably be there again because, hey, they'll sell okay, I guess. Let's see. Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo have not announced their plans yet, although Nintendo, Nintendo did say, right? They're doing that weird Nintendo competition thing again, and they're not doing a presser. Oh, crap. I meant to have that all read up on because that just happened today, but I didn't do it. Sorry, everyone. We'll talk about it Monday. Anyway, Ubisoft. In it to win it or something. H1Z1, the game. Interesting little piece of data here. Players log out. What they are saying is they're describing as in droves when the sun goes down. They don't mean in real life. They mean in the game. So here's the quote. We have a very interesting report just now. It shows a much higher percentage of people logging out when it is night in the game. We play the game too, and we've tuned it to the best we could to be fun and not too dark, but the data is quite stark. So what they're seeing, he didn't mean to rhyme that, I'm sure. How embarrassing for him. They're seeing when everybody leaves, the game world has gone dark because they're on a clock of consistent, the clock's consistent for everybody, right? So when night hits, everybody gets out. They're like, I don't want to play right now. What that probably means is that's broken. You need to fix that or make it compelling to be there because what the hell, man. That reminds me of like free-to-play games that you run out of energy or whatever, and the only way you can stay is if you spend money, so you just go away and come back later, you know? Yeah, fix that. I've not played H1Z1. I've seen some streams. It seems okay. It seems interesting, but I don't know. I don't know if that thing's for me. I'd like to see one of these survival games actually make it to full release and not be called an alpha and a beta until the end of time. All right, let's dig deep into your phone calls and emails. Phone calls come to us 801-471-0462. Or you can send attachments and or emails to boopshow@gmail.com. Let's start with this guy.
Hey, Scott. This is Doug. Just wanted to let you know about a cool little gem I found on Steam. It is a gothic turn-based roguelike. I know you're a fan of those. Called Darkest Dungeon. Usually I tend to stay away from any early access stuff, but this baby looks a little polished. It won Best Indie RPG at PAX 2014, and I guess some South by Southwest Gaming Award, but love the art style. Love the voice narration and stuff. It's pretty dark. Very cool early access game. So check it out. Called The Darkest Dungeon. Thanks.
I almost bought that sight unseen when it was released because it seemed like it was up my alley, but I didn't get it, and I don't remember why. I think somebody had warned me that it was extremely difficult and kind of frustrating. And while I don't necessarily want to avoid a situation like that, I am kind of in this mode lately where I don't need to be punished by games. So I'm not saying this game does that. I'm just saying I base that on a couple of people's opinions. I probably will check it out at some point because it's kind of up my alley. Like everything about it sounds like something I'd like, but I don't need more difficult right now. And by that, I don't mean I need easy. I don't know. I don't need games where the part of the mechanics of the game are to make me feel like I'm sucking. And a lot of games do that. Like Bloodborne for all of its, you know, Bloodborne and the Souls games for all of their wonders, you know, part of the appeal is these are punishing and then getting over the punishment and passing it. And, you know, there's great satisfaction in that. I get that. I don't have the time for it though. But, yeah, if you're telling me go, I'll get it. All right. And if I do, I'll report back.
Hey, Scott. This is Adam calling for the Boop Show from Michigan.
Hey, man.
I'm pretty excited about the possibility of having TV DVR for my Xbox One. But I'm thinking about how Comcast will like hearing that I'm using my console for DVR and not a DVR from Comcast. It makes me think about how with here in our United States, if you have a PS4 and Comcast cable, HBO Go does not work on your PS4. I'm not sure why it doesn't work, but I know as an end user, it doesn't work. So I'm pretty excited about TV DVR, but I wonder how cable companies will like hearing about their DVRs not being used at all. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, and boop-a-dee-boop-boop.
I don't know if the, I mean, okay, when you get a cable thing, you don't, most of the packages come DVRs now, right? That's just sort of standard there. They include something, right? When you get the subscription. I've been an unplugger for so long, like cord cutting since like 6 years, 7 years ago or something. So I've not been around that for a long time. I have to think, though, that there, it's not going to be any different than if somebody bought a TiVo or bought any other kind of third-party DVR solution. There's plenty of those, right? Lots of those options out there. So I don't think they can discriminate in that way. So I expect nothing will come of this. The HBO deal is different because that's there's a content deal thing happening there. That's not the same because you're talking about a very specific point of content. And I don't know the details of that either. I remember there was kind of a stink about it for a while, and then I kind of lost track of the story, but it's not the same. This would be like, oh, what's it like? It's like going to a place that offers microphones for you to record something, but you brought your own. They can't stop you. Well, I guess they could. I don't know. But I don't think they will. I think nothing comes of this DVR thing, including it not being a big deal in general. I think DVRs are on their way out. I don't know. Depends. Whatever. If you're still into TV, DVRs are in. If you're like me, you gave up on those a long time ago.
Hey, Scott. Hey, I'm just commenting on Thursday's Boop Show. You were actually talking about at the very beginning, they were you were playing that Sega commercial for the blast processing, all that stuff. There's actually a YouTube channel called Did You Know Gaming. If you go and check them out, they have a whole thing on about Sega and Nintendo, like most of the different consoles that kind of explain like a lot of the history between them. And blast processing was actually a term that was coined by one of the hardware developers for the processor on the Sega. So the blast processing was actually a real thing that they used in their hardware. And I mean, it was just I'm doing air quotes here, cool term that was used by them. So you should actually check out their channel, and they have a lot of really good information. So take it easy. Have a good one.
You guys are getting creative with the boops. It's kind of like me saying this podcast contains nitro jigger jabby. And then that taking off and becoming a thing, and then somehow people start marketing their podcasts as being full of that fake word I made up. It might mean something to me, right? Like that's what I may call some post-processing edit thing or something. But in the end, it's just malarkey. So yeah, that jives with what I kind of figured. And boy, Sega sure ran with that though, didn't they? Yeesh. Well, you think that music means I'm done with your emails. It doesn't. I just thought it'd be fun to have a little something in the background while I did this. Look, I'm shaking it up, man. Living like a beast. Whoa! No. Stop. All right. That was a mistake. Dan wrote in, says, first of all, Scott, I love the shows. Keep it up. Keep up the amazing work. I'm wondering how is the best way to connect with you and the Frog Pants AIE folks to play some Heroes of the Storm. I do not play WoW, so I don't have access to that network. Is there a chat channel or something I could join? I really love to play and play with you all, as I don't really have anyone to play with currently. Thanks. And did notice that there was no Thursday show a couple of weeks ago. All right. Thanks, Dan. Yes, there is a way. So there is a chat channel in... You can make chat channels in Heroes of the Storm for your clans and your guilds or whatever. We have one in there called Frog Pants. If you join the Frog Pants channel... through the little chat channel interface there. Very easy to do. It'll automatically be there every time you log in, and it's a great place to say, hey, anybody up for any games or whatever? And people will respond, yeah, totally, let's do this. So, join up in that channel. It's not always super loud in there. You know, a lot of players are just sort of playing and have their own friend groups or whatever, but it's still a great way to catch someone's eye and get a game going. So check that out. Frog Pants inside of the Heroes of the Storm game client. You're all set. Got another email from Rathiger, Rob in Charlotte. He says this: why did you give Newt Gingrich such a hard time for his response to his first experience with VR technology? Gingrich, like most people, interpreted his new experience through the lens of what he cares about and how VR might improve knowledge of those things. All right, here's the deal. He's fine. People think I was hating on Gingrich, or that I was that somehow this shows some kind of weird political bias. I don't care. Give me a left winger to attach this to. I'd be happy to make fun of them too. My point is that he's a little bit of a goofball, and so are other people. Plenty of people. He just happened to be in the story, so it's not like I targeted him. Give me another one, really. Like, if Hillary Clinton put on a VR thing, oh, I could go to town on that. Because I think she's a goofball, too. So I'm equal opportunity goofball, man. And a few of you are upset at me over this, so I apologize. But anyway. I love the show and really enjoy listening, even when you flub up words and titles. Boop, says Rob. Thanks, Rob. I appreciate the feedback. Any feedback is welcome. Any emails, any calls are welcome. 801-471-0462 or boopshow@gmail.com. All right. Time to get the crap out of here, or close to it. Before we leave, let me mention the following things. You can get in touch with us also by the website. There's all sorts of links there to do things and whatever at frogpants.com/boop. You can subscribe to the show there. That we are available on lots of different networks, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. I would recommend it. Also, we're on SoundCloud now, so all the Frog Pants shows are right there. Support us at patreon.com/frogpants. And if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, @BoopShow or @ScottJohnson or both. How about both? Even both. That's going to do it. We're done. There was something else I was going to mention. Oh, yeah. A reminder. If you want to do any E3 coverage and you're going to the event and you want to hook up with me a couple times during that week to sort of just get your impressions, love to include you on the show. So get in touch with me, boopshow@gmail.com. We're going to go out with some music again. That is actually the third time I played these guys. You guys really liked it. The feedback's been great. I really, really like it. So it's like no-brainer to play it again. I'm going to play yet another track from these 7 songs from the 7th Saga. This is a track called Water, second track in the series, and maybe my favorite of the whole batch. So I'm going to play that now. And then a little call after that. So stay tuned for that as well. I guess that's it. Yeah, that's it. That's totally it. We'll be back on Monday with a whole new show. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Go play some games. We'll talk to you then. Thank you.
two touchpads in front of me. One's got an apple on it, and the other one is a W paddle. Now, the one with the apple's pretty good, but this here W paddle by Nintendo, well, it's something else. You take your little stick and you do your thing on it. It makes things happen on your big screen television. Obviously, they're putting more bits and bytes, and they're just a little W paddle to move around all these cute little critters. That's why I like my Nintendo. Ain't no more bits and bytes found anywhere else. You got a hell of a show, Scott. You keep doing what you're doing, all right? And I'll keep on listening. I take great comfort in it. Boop.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.